Owen Bailey for the Leelanau Voices Oral History Project, and specifically for the Within Memory Project interviews with the Leelanau Witnesses to the Century. The interview is taking place about 2 p.m. on February 21st, 2000, at Mr. Bailey's home. The interviewer is Diane Connors. Mr. Bailey, you've reviewed the user agreement and feel comfortable signing it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is perfectly all right.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of our first questions is, what is the most important thing to you about Leelanau County?
I thought about that in reading this thing, and I was kind of hard-pressed to determine what I could say about a single thing, except that Leelanau County is unique. It's very attractive, and it's surprising how many years it went on before people outside the state recognized it, mm-hmm. which has only been since 1960s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about the places they talk about. They talk about Monterey Peninsula being so unique on the west coast and Cape Cod on the east coast, and I think, golly, by comparison, were far, far more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess probably the geographical qualities of Leelanau County make it probably so unique.
Yeah.
Is that what you were kind of
sure.
after? Okay.
Yeah. And what year were you born?
1920.
And you were born here?
Right here.
Okay. I was wondering what changes you've seen over the years in the county and in the Suttons Bay area.
Of course, being familiar with the business, my folks operated the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like the 20s, of course. I was too young to appreciate what was going on, but it looked like the 20s were fairly good business.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at that time, general farming was the big thing. Tourism was sort of a secondary thing here. It was more prominent in Leland and Northport than it was in Suttons Bay, but the whole county was quite active for general farming. And of course, then the Depression came along in the 30s, and that was a disaster for everybody.
How so? What kinds of things do you remember about what life was like for people in the 30s?
Well, things stopped, although we were never uncomfortable, but it was quite apparent that people in the city were very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I would occasionally go down to Flint and visit my uncle, and it was not uncommon to see people walking up and down the alley looking in garbage cans for food.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that didn't exist here. People could exist on a farm with probably zero cash flow, but still they were able to subsist.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the business, after looking at the business records, I'm surprised that business existed. I mean, it just reached a bottom.
Well, how did it exist? How did people cope?
Well, there was a certain amount of welfare, and then, of course, the WPA Public Works Project came in, so that put a little bit of money in things. But I really can't give you a good answer of how it existed. It just barely existed.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, for example, did people barter goods at all?
I don't think there was very much barter going on.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was hard-pressed because a lot of young fellows were going, girls too, were going off to school, principally Mount Pleasant, to get a teaching certificate.
Mm.
And their credit wasn't good enough with the bank, so my dad would co-sign notes for them.
Mm.
And so he had quite a number of notes going out, which were not big dollars amount, but they were quite big dollars in the terms of Depression when they tried to liquidate those. So my dad, he was confronted with a payment of $15 every other Thursday. And to imagine that $15 was a problem.
And this was not only for his own children who he was
co-signing,
this was for others in the community?
They were just acquainted with.
Huh.
They may have come from other parts of the county.
Yeah.
And of course, he knew them, and they knew him because they'd come into the store and buy things.
Mm-hmm.
So they were acquainted with my dad, Otto.
Yeah.
And so that's how he figured in this thing.
And what kind of store was it at that time?
It was a clothing store, and my grandfather started out as a general store in 1876, which of course had groceries, and general stores were prominent in the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to have something for everybody that walked in the door. And then, of course, it finally evolved that my grandfather made a partnership, so they ran the grocery thing and he ran the clothing, dry goods and clothing, ready to wear, they called it. And so my dad went into partnership with him, and then after the war, he came back and he bought my grandfather out. So they became O.L. Bailey Store. And of course, this thing has gone down through the generations where I joined my dad, and now my children are in the business. So we're the fourth generation, and we are possibly the oldest family-owned business in the state of Michigan, according to the Michigan Historical Society.
You were talking about how this is fourth generation now in your family and for the store, and I was wondering how you've seen the retail business change in your lifetime, in both that store and also in the county generally.
Well, of course, the the war economy, which was such an enormous thing in the industrial area, and principally in the Detroit area and throughout the United States, was had total employment. Everybody they wanted to work, they could work there. Whereas Leelanau County really was going in through the 40s, it was really not any different than the 30s, because there was no industry up here. And agriculture was pretty modest. You get general farms, they had small amounts of each commodity, so they actually had a very small marketable commodity. And so the 30s were sort of, it was a tough thing, and of course the government got into the programs, and so it got a little better towards the end of the 30s. And then of course when the war came along, then this big increase in the cities was something, but Leelanau County went along almost the same as in the 30s. So in the 50s, we could start to see a change because cherries became a more prominent thing, and I can't think just when that mechanical harvesting came along. You had a date in here. It's awful. We grow cherries, and I can't remember when we got the first shaker. Where are we here? Stop this thing in just a minute. We'll find out your date so we can get some chronological order. Mechanical harvester changed the complexion of Leelanau County remarkably, because before the mechanical harvester, you had a great influx of migrants, principally colored and Hispanics, and of course every orchard probably had close to 100 workers. So in Sutton's Bay case, it was kind of a migrant center. So this was a little bit detrimental to the tourist trade. So after the harvester got in place, well, the migrants of course became less prominent, and Sutton's Bay started to take on a more sophisticated look in business. And of course we remodeled our store, which made one impression on the town, and that was the first major remodeling in the commercial district, and that was someplace in the 50s. So then we started to have an upscale business. I mean, we started to move into more sophisticated merchandising.
That's because you were getting more tourists?
Tourists. And of course, the income level of the county was starting to go up again, which was remarkable.
And what was the reason that the income was starting to go up again?
Farming became more prosperous. There was a couple of years in there where the price of cherries was extremely good, and of course everybody thought this was a bonanza. Well, then of course the market fluctuated, and we've had some very bleak years, and it's going on down through the present time, and it's very difficult to get a proper return out of an agricultural operation. And of course this is going to affect the complexion of Leelanau County. We're going to lose farming in place of homes and developments.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's good. It's brought an influx of people. We have a group of people which I think have added to the quality of life up here. They have talents, and they're building nice homes, of course, which affects the economy, but they're eager to volunteer and share their talents, which is, it's been remarkable. The quality of schools have gone up, churches have become more interesting, and it's a meaningful thing. You've got some questions you want to ask, so I should answer those.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned were the WPA projects. What kind of projects did we have in the county?
they had, I speak of the ones at Sutton's Bay, but they were duplicated many places. And it was a device to bring people into the, an income stream. Mm-hmm. And so they put a water main in Sutton's Bay. And instead of using mechanical diggers, it was by hand. They had lots and lots of men with shovels. And same way, they planted a lot of the maple trees that you see around town. And of course, some places they built schools or they built other things. I mean, it's, it was a program to get people employed.
Do you remember the impact that had on people in their lives?
Oh, I remember a lot of people. Lila's father, in fact, he was a civil engineer in Lake Forest outside of Chicago. And of course, the city just came to a screeching halt, so they laid off everybody. And Herb Bramer, he was out of a job with a family. So he moved up to Northport to a relative who lived on a farm. And then he became a county surveyor, and he was also a civil engineer. So he did engineering on these projects, which were WPA projects. Mm-hmm. And they were, I mean, this was a, they were out to employ everybody that needed help.
And there were a lot of people who needed help.
Everybody needed help.
Anybody in your family work on any of the WPA projects?
No. Our business always included a farm because my grandfather started out on a farm. And mm-hmm. so this is, my father kind of inherited the farm attitude and some of the farm, and then I did the same thing, and my son is in the, he's the fourth generation farmer. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a farm, you were kind of your own make work thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. What are some of the other issues or events or changes that had a significant impact upon you or your family or your neighbors or the county, do you think, in your lifetime? You've talked about, you know, the depression and things like that. Are there any other examples?
It's funny, I can't really think of a solid thing. I mean, we were going along, and as kids we had a good time. We were not aware of any of these real serious problems, and even though things were might have been a little bit tight, we still had a good time, and we still had jobs. I mean, they were small level jobs, of course, probably mostly at home or on farms, but I think it was just a gradual evolution. I mean, the business communities were growing just at a very low rate. I mean, through the 40s and 50s. And I know when I graduated from the school, the attitude for a graduating class was how to get out of here so they can enjoy a greater opportunity someplace else. And after the war, I didn't know whether I would come back here or not, but my dad just sort of, he felt I was on my way back. So I thought, well, okay, I'll come back and give it a whirl. So I came back to Sutton's Bay and joined him. And Lila, she was working with Pratt Whitney in New Hartford, Connecticut. They were making airplane engines. She was a engineering aide. And she wasn't sure she was coming back to Sutton's Bay either, but her father, who was getting busier, he needed a drafts person to do drafting, and so he encouraged her to come back, and she did the drafting, and that's when we met. Mm-hmm. So she didn't really have that impression that it was not her number one goal to come back to Sutton's Bay. Mm-hmm. And of course, I didn't know really where I fit, so I tried it. So anyhow, things have progressed. We were the only really young family back here after the war. I mean, this was quite unique.
Well, that was one thing I was wondering, was whether or not, you mentioned in the 40s when the wartime economy picked up downstate, the economy didn't pick up here. Did you see a mass exodus of people from this area going downstate to work, or what was it like?
Young people were going out. Mm-hmm. Probably the average graduating class up here was like about 20. Mm-hmm. And of course, most of them would go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I went to Michigan State in 1938, and of course that was quite unique because my folks just said, well, it's probably a good idea to go to school, so I went to school. I mean, that was mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. Okay.
Another question that I had from something you were talking about earlier was when the WPA project started happening, and some that meant so much for so many people to be getting a paycheck. How did that impact the store when the people in the community started getting paychecks? What happened to you there?
It impacted everybody because it put money into circulation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd reached a point where the store could be open and not have one person come in the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just people were just unable to buy things. I mean, that was it. And so the banks closed, and that was in the crash, of course, in 32, I think that's when that happened. So there was just an absence of exchange, which is hard to imagine.
We've talked about those issues in the past. Are there some issues that you think are of great importance today? Because this is part of this century that we're talking about, too.
Oh, sure. This is a growth, of course. Some people view growth as a great disaster, but there's an enormous amount of open land in Leelanau County. If you drive around, you can see it. And a lot of it is not involved in agriculture, or it's really just suitable for nice homes. And if it's properly developed, I think this is a real plus. And it's we have conservation of view sites and parks, so that's being taken care of. I think it's we have a pretty good percentage of open land for people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is a topic that should be carefully looked at. And agriculture, unless it gets better, it's going to gradually get smaller, not by choice, but just by the business,
mm-hmm.
the limitations of reasonable business. And, taxes are a problem for a farmer because they tax land on its highest use, and it's not on its own income potential.
Mm-hmm. On that issue of farming, you had talked about how there were a sparse number of commodities when you were growing up, and I was wondering what the farm economy was like. Where were the markets when you were growing up, and how did those markets change over the years?
Well, in my time, of course, potatoes were still a commodity that they sold, and they shipped out potatoes by rail and by boat. But the potato business, I'm not sure for what reason, but it became a difficult thing for farmers to make money on. I don't know if it was a cultural practice or a market limitations, but
mm-hmm.
so potatoes were gradually replaced with cherries. And then, of course, cherries had this evolution, which is the same thing. I mean, you have a surplus market and you have a weak marketing system, so the market price for cherries has been very depressed, and a cherry farmer has tough decisions to make there.
Was there ever a time when the market was largely local?
Well, you don't have to have very much of any commodity, and you've got to move out of this area because you only have, I know in the early days, I suppose you only had like 12,000 people in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, we're up to, I suppose we're up close to 18 or 20,000. But if you're dealing in a very large commodity, you've got to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, both of my grandfathers used to be brokers for potatoes and grain. And they shipped a lot of potatoes out in the early, late 1800s. It's an interesting story in potatoes, but you could see that in my time, I was aware of it, it got to be less and less.
Mm-hmm. What other ways has industry and commerce changed in the community in your lifetime? Not just in Sutton's Bay, but in the entire county, for whatever you may know about it.
Of course, you had a cherry processing plant in Northport, and you had one over in Empire, which maybe is still there. And of course, you had these processing plants in the Traverse City area. Oh, you had one over in Glen Arbor, too, Glen Lake Packing Company. And they were too small, so they were gradually shut down in favor of larger processing plants, which got you into Traverse City. So.
Mm-hmm.
Your market was there, and they still haul, of course, a lot of fruit out of Leelanau County into Traverse City area.
Mm-hmm. What about the retail establishments? Like, how has the main street of Sutton's Bay changed over the years in terms of retail?
Oh, it's changed enormously. It used to be, well, of course, the general stores were replaced by specialty type things, where instead of having a general store selling everything, you end up now where you have a grocery store, you have a clothing store, you have a furniture store, and so on. And so they're much more complete, and of course they have a far more sophisticated merchandise mix. And so Sutton's Bay, you don't have to go back too many years and you can see a great change in the marketing of Sutton's Bay. And I think the thing that touched it off is when we remodeled our store, because it was a terrible looking place. It had been remodeled in the 20s by my parents, and it looked pretty good, but the Depression, of course, was tough on it, and it looked pretty run down. And so Lila and I, we made a major remodeling there, and that's what you see now, which mm-hmm. is considerably different from what it was. And of course, that...
And that was in the 1950s?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. about 20... Oh, late 50s. Mm-hmm. I should know exactly, but I forget these things. Anyhow, then the theater was a dilapidated affair there, and it was a risk of an adult theater coming in there. So I bought the theater not knowing exactly what we were going to do with it. And so we made the decision that the theater would have an impact on the community. And my son Robert, Lila. Theater...
You came back and told the family about a theater,
yeah,
you say?
And Robert, he graduated from state, and he was interested in movies, or theater. So we decided, the family, okay, Robert will run the theater, and we remodeled that. It was a complete remodeling job. Mm-hmm. So it started out as a general store, and then the man bought it in 1946, Brian Rockwell. And he made a theater out of it, and it was quite a change in town, but very modest. And then, of course, this thing ran down because it got very unattractive, and that's when we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And remodeled it and built a lot of stuff on it. So it has the state-of-the-art sound system, and you can have live. You're familiar with it, I think. Okay. So anyhow, that's a big difference. Then, of course, the next thing that happened was the store, you remember the Cheese House?
No.
No, okay.
I'm afraid I don't.
That building next to the theater to the north,
mm-hmm.
that was condemned, and a man was going to make a mall type thing out of it. Well, it didn't happen, and so it kept sitting there and sitting there, a condemned building that couldn't be occupied, and so we made the decision to buy that. Buildings before, and then as we remodel them, and it's quite interesting to look at the evolution of a building.
Yeah. And you have stores all along that block now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just, well, anyhow, that Cheese House that was the old Smeeset building.
Mm-hmm.
We tore it down and built what you see there now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just totally new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See. Were you aware? Did you see that happen?
No, I've been in the region for 14 years.
Okay,
now,
that happened just about when you arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the end building, which is one we've owned for many years, but that was my grandfather's, on my mother's side, a general store.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfathers were actually in competition with another.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyhow, that was built in 1903, I think it is. So anyhow, that got to be a dilapidated thing too. And so we remodeled that, and so it has three businesses downstairs and a commercial and apartments upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole block, and of course, as this evolved, this was the thing that set the pace for the rest of the town.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it happening. It was kind of funny, the remodeling the store didn't have much of an impact, although we thought it was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
But when we put the theater together and put that in, all at once, everybody discovered the store.
Mm.
And it was really kind of funny. So then, of course, when the next one happened, and then, of course, around town, at that time, you could see other people were doing the same thing. So this was kind of the thing that caused the evolution of architecture and business.
Mm-hmm. When you say everybody discovered the store, do you mean people in the region outside of Sutton's Bay and it started
No,
growing?
It's Sutton's Bay, the
in
business
Sutton's
community
Bay.
of Sutton's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the buildings in Sutton's Bay were kind of decrepit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they looked like towns looked in the Depression.
Right.
And so this was a big move when we remodeled the store. I mean, this was going out on a limb for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, we were fortunate because it wasn't because we were so extraordinarily smart or anything. It's just that the business economy also started picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So we were blessed with timing.
Yeah. Now you talk about opening up the theater. What are the kinds of things that people do for entertainment over the years? Here?
Well, of course, they had a theater in town.
Mm-hmm.
1907 was the first one, and that was in the building which is called another store, the B.J. Saddle store up there. And then it moved from there down to where So Central is, and I was in my time, I went down there and we had a piano player and silent movies. And of course that went along until the Depression kind of wiped it out, and it got to be a real dilapidated thing, so it turned into a boat store, marine store, and then it turned into an antique store, and now it's So Central.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, there was a void in there where there was no theater in the county. And Brian Rockwell, who was a conservation officer, worked for the DNR, he left the DNR and opened up the theater, and it worked pretty good for a few years because it was something new. And then, of course, it gradually dilapidated, and of course, he started showing Spanish films to take care of the migrants, and of course, the whole town got the kind of a bleak attitude, and things were not too good. So that thing finally stopped. It drew on and off, and it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when...
They got a bleak attitude about the showing movies for the Spanish population?
Well, there were so many Spanish-speaking migrants here that the Spanish movies were an item.
Mm-hmm. And how was that viewed by the rest of the community?
Oh, I think it was just accepted. It was nothing wrong with it. It was just that the business community was totally different because you had a lot of migrants.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, tourism doesn't thrive where you got that mix of people, I don't think. I mean, you're Spanish-speaking. There's nothing wrong with the Spanish-speaking people, but it's just that you're catering to two different groups of customers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What do you think the greatest challenges are for the business community today?
Well, they've got to be careful on how they operate because the competitive world is really pretty active. I mean, as you can see that. We're in competition with everything. And Sutton's Bay has become kind of a destination point for a lot of people, so we are fortunate that a lot of people come from Traverse City and, of course, elsewhere. And we have good relations with all the visitors that come up. It's kind of their community. And the fact is we have a strong market in Birmingham, people from Birmingham. It's kind of interesting, or other parts of the United States. And it's kind of humorous because people from faraway places wait and come to see us, which is fortunate.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's different. You walk into a store and it looks like the old store, and
mm-hmm.
I suppose it's a friendly attitude and everybody gets to know one another, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like all part of the family.
Yeah.
It's and of course the whole town is that way. I mean, we're fortunate. We've got some fine people in business here. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Do the business people in the community face any challenges from having the larger, like big box stores and malls coming in Traverse City? Has that affected the business community here at all?
That's always a factor that you have to be careful of. That's for sure. Although I think everybody, I think everybody is successful here, and they kind of fill a niche which the malls do not fill.
Mm-hmm.
Principally service and convenience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing you talked about is how the growth and development that people talk about a lot these days. I was wondering, when did you really start to see that happening? When did you see the change? You mentioned something on one other tape that it may seem to many people like this has been happening forever, but it's really relatively new.
Well, of course, the big change, as we see it, I think was... I don't think it started in the 50s, because the house we're in here, we built this in 1952 and 53. We built much of it ourselves. And this was the only house built in the township in the whole year. And so the carpenter, I hired one carpenter, and I told him to take the summer off and go get other employment. So he would go out of the resort community and work. And he came back, and of course we started in the fall. That's when I had time to work too. So this was kind of a one carpenter job with a do it ourselves.
And it was the only house in the township that was built that year.
That's right. It was quite a novelty. And so then the 60s, of course, you started to get more growth. In the 70s, which we're thinking the 70s aren't very far away, that's when things really started to go. And of course, if you look at building permits, it started like in the 70s, have been going bigger and bigger every cent. And of course, some people suggest that we should have a gate and not let any more in, but I think these people that are coming in, they've been a real plus. I mean, they're terrific. You know them, and they